Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Alkyl Amines Chemicals Limited, hosted by HDFC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nilesh Ghuge from HDFC Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steven. Good afternoon, all. On behalf of HDFC Securities, I welcome everyone to this Alkyl Amines conference call to discuss the results for the quarter ended March 2022. It is pleasure of having with us top management team from Alkyl Amines, represented by Mr. Yogesh Kothari, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Kirat Patel, Executive Director, Mr. K.P. Rajagopalan, Corporate Advisor, Mr. Chintamani Thatte, General Manager, Legal and Company Secretary, and Ms. Kanchan Shinde, Chief Financial Officer, Alkyl Amines. Without further ado, I will now hand over the floor to the management for making the opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nilesh. I welcome you all to the investors conference for the quarter, the fourth quarter of year 2022. This was a very challenging year to Alkyl Amines, and our results are showing that. Most of our raw materials and energy input costs went up by a large percentage. We managed to pass some of the increases in our price to our customers, but that was not enough. Things have started looking better with many of the raw materials prices coming down to some reasonable levels. We have put more capacity on ground for one of our products, that is acetonitrile. We are also in the process of establishing a new large amines plant at Kurkumbh, which would come on stream in the next nine months. I will ask Mr. Kirat Patel to take over.
Good afternoon, everybody. As Mr. Kothari has said, yes, it's been a challenging year. We have grown on the top line by about 25%, as you have seen year-to-year. Most of that growth has come from price rises. The price rises have not been sufficient to keep our margins intact because the raw material prices or input prices, including the energy costs like coal and ammonia and all the other raw materials, have gone up considerably, especially in the last 6 months. Fortunately, they have stabilized now, and as slowly we are able to pass on some of these increases onto our customers. Looking forward, we are a little optimistic that the worst is over. However, it's difficult to say because there's a lot of volatility in the market due to the Chinese issues and Ukraine war and all the logistical issues people are facing. With that, I think we can open up this thing to questions from the participants. Nilesh, could you lead the thing?
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So sir, my first question is on your gross margins. We've seen last one year has been challenging and, now given the uncertainties with crude oil prices remaining at more than $100 a barrel, Is it fair to assume that we've seen a similar scenario or a similar phase in around 11, 12, 13, 14? So is it fair to assume that your gross margins also should be closer to the range we've seen in 11 to 14? Or you think that possibly with a lag of one or two quarters, margin should revert closer to 50-odd% that we were seeing earlier?
Karan, good afternoon. And the margins, as you see, are stabilizing and probably will improve as we pass on some of the increases in our costs onto customers. The process has begun towards the end of last year and continues just this thing. Looking forward, we are not unable to say how much the raw material prices will go up or down, but at the moment we are optimistic that the margins will improve as we go along.
Sure. And second, we've seen that INEOS has recently announced acetonitrile capacity expansion by around 15,000 tons. And also we've seen your domestic competitor also increasing their acetonitrile capacity by another 15,000 tons. So to what extent do you foresee this could possibly impact the realizations for the product?
Well, I can tell you one thing that acetonitrile is a growing product and I do not foresee any issues in capacity because a lot of things were imported up to now. And it is going to be challenging, but we are very confident that the quality and the service which we have will definitely give us an edge. So we don't, and we have already established a market, and we will continue to do better in acetonitrile.
Sure. And lastly, can you give us some sense on what was the volume growth for FY22 over 21? And now with your new acetonitrile plant getting commissioned, what have been the utilizations for the quarter for the new plant? That's my last question. Thank you.
Okay. So most of the 25% growth rate, 24-25% growth rate on the top line has been largely due to price. Almost 2/3 to 70% has been price and the rest has been volume. As far as acetonitrile is concerned, we have begun the plant in the last quarter of the last year, January to March, and slowly it is being ramped up. Looking forward, we think between the two plants, we will probably hit 60 to 70% of utilization of our capacity, and we are hoping to push it to even further. Because there is a market out there, but it is, of course, as you can appreciate, that introducing a new plant, new market, and this thing, it takes a little time. So we hope to get to the 60-70% capacity utilization, both plants put together.
Sure. Thank you. That's it from my end. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Rupani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is regarding the price of acetonitrile. What is the price per kg right now? And yes, please answer this, then I'll ask my follow-up question.
The price of acetonitrile is varying between 250 to 280 rupees. It depends also on how much imports have come in and how much stocks are there. But it is varying in that range.
Okay, and sir, three, 4 years back, the price used to be 120 a kg and then there was a demand, so it shot up to 300 to 400 a kg. So do you, with Balaji also adding a new plant, and so do you see that the price of ACN going down below 200 a kg?
Well, it's always possible if there is more supply than the demand, it could happen. And also there are imports also, so there is always a possibility. But then you have to see at what rate you can operate at, and what is your cost of production and how you manage your plant.
Okay, and one more question. If the prices of ACN drop, do we have capabilities to produce tetrahydrofuran?
We don't make tetrahydrofuran.
Okay. I have another question. You have in last con call you have said that you would be doing a capex for higher amines. So could you tell us what products exactly you will be launching in going forward, and what new specialty chemicals will you be producing?
So we are putting up a very large plant at Kurkum for making ethyl amines, and our capacity will be quite high compared to whatever capacities are there. And our existing plants also, we have technologies to change them over to other amines. So we do not foresee any issues as far as our plant are concerned.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. My only question is about the markets here. As we've seen our other competitor, the domestic competitor, so he's done the volume about, the sales volume about 34%, and we've done almost 10-11%. Is there any market share loss? That's the only question I have.
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please, slowly?
My only question is about the market share. Is there any market share loss because our other competitor, the domestic competitor, have done the volume about 34% up, and we've only done 10-11% up?
I think one of the products which we do not manufacture is what is really aided our sort of co-producer. We do not make dimethyl formamide, which is what has to a large extent helped our co-producer.
Okay, so there is no market share loss at all in our acetonitrile and other amines product.
Sorry, what is the question? Hello?
So seems like we lost the connection for the current participant. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joint Ray Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Can you please give the breakup of other expenses for the full year? Because it has increased significantly in the fourth quarter.
The other expenses includes our power, water, fuel. And in the fuel and power, as you all know, that the energy costs have substantially increased over the last 6 months. And in fact, the last 3 months, much more. Coal, which we use for heating, has almost tripled from what it used to be a year ago. So that is the large extent where the other expenses have gone up. The rest of it has not really changed that much.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's just one.
Power, water, fuel, which you see, has significantly changed the other expenses.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Rupani from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you once again. You had said that a competitor produces DMF. So I would like to ask, do we have capabilities to produce DMF? And please let us know.
Currently, we do not have the capability, but we have the process, and at some stage, we may do it. But before that, we will be adding some more methylamine capacity, because dimethylamine is needed for making DMF, and that is what is going to be needed in future. So we are, at the same time, we will be planning a new methylamine plant, maybe 2 years down the line.
Okay, and what is our current ethyl amines capacity and how much are we adding?
Methyl amines we are...
Ethyl?
Ethyl amines currently we are about No, we are about 5 times, so we are looking at about 22,000 tons a year, 20 to 22,000 tons, and we are looking to increase that to about 35,000 tons.
Okay, and any other new specialty chemicals in the pipeline apart from ethylamine?
Yeah, there are a few, but currently we are not disclosing those names. Once we are at a stage where we can disclose it, we will come back. But they are at the development stage and at the seed marketing stage. So once they become to an extent where we can start producing, we will be coming in the market.
And so lastly, your outlook on acetic acid prices?
Acetic acid, of course, has given us a lot of problems last year. It had gone up so substantially, it really affected us. Now it is there starting to stabilize, but still it is at on the higher side compared to what it used to be a year ago.
So what is it currently, and going forward, do you expect it to come down?
Yes, currently it is around 60, 65, 70 rupees in that range, you know, per kilogram.
Okay. And going forward, what's the outlook?
That is difficult to predict just now, but I hope it remains in this range at least, you know. Yeah, it has gone up to over 90 and it has been as low as 35, you know. So it's been very volatile in the last year and a half.
Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. My question was regarding capital expenditure. So in Q2, we had guided for a capex of around 170 to 200 crore for the whole year of FY22. However, we have ended up spending around 250 crores of capex. So have we preponed our capex of FY23 to FY22, or is there some other reason?
It's a combination of two things. One is we have been slightly ahead of schedule in our implementation, and also prices have gone up. Steel, cement, all the inputs have gone up. It's a combination of both. So we spent about 240 crores against the target at about 210 crores, you know. And going forward in the next year, we hope to spend maybe about 300 crores.
Okay. And my second question...
Further escalation in prices does not happen, and we are able to implement our projects within budgets.
Okay. And my second question was regarding the Kurkum capex. So we are doing almost 350 crores of capex for around 13,000-14,000 tons of ethylamine capacity. So are we planning to do something else as well at this in this capex? Because this capex seems to be a little bit on the higher side, given the 15,000 tons capacity of ethylamine.
It's not 15,000 tons; it's 35,000 tons.
So we are setting up 35,000 incremental.
Yes, 100 to 125 tons a day.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rina. The next question is from the line of Rina Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to know that in which products, because what I understand is majority of the products like acetonitrile, ethylamines, methylamines, these are the products where prices are driven by market forces. So in which products do you think you can actually pass on this higher prices of raw materials to customers and that can improve your margins?
Almost everything is market driven. However, the issue is that the market is set up by all the producers and the competitors, and all of us, as it happens, have the same or similar cost structures, given that our technologies are similar. So sooner or later, the prices settle to a level which is acceptable to the market. Yes, once in a while, if somebody becomes a little more aggressive, becomes new player comes in, there is a temporary setback. But otherwise, the market play itself takes care of the margins and the this thing. Sometimes there is an overhang, sometimes there is a shortage. So you do have the margins going up and down. But by and large, because all the competitors have similar technologies or similar exposure to their cost structures, the market forces prevail, you know.
Okay. And sir, one more question. What are the capacity additions that have come in last year and what are expected to come in terms of volumes in next year?
Last year, the capacity expansion has been on acetonitrile, which got commissioned towards the end of the third quarter, and actually the production started in the last quarter. That was it's an 18,000 ton plant in Dahej making acetonitrile. The next year we hope to commission towards the last quarter of 22-23 or the first quarter of 23-24 an ethylamines plant of about 30-35,000 tons as we just mentioned earlier.
Okay.
There are a few smaller other capital expenditures which are what we might call expansions to our existing range wherever we find a little tightness in the capacities.
Okay. So as we see that there are a lot of companies which are going under very specialized chemicals wherein they can actually, you know, drive the margins and dictate the prices. So are you looking for something on those lines or you are looking only for those products which are right now in your portfolio?
You know, we are largely in the business of what we call intermediates. Between we are not commodities and we are not what you might call performance or specialty chemicals which are sold. But we have a few products which are unique and where we are able to set, of course, within reason, prices which are comfortable. But yes, by and large, what we would define our company into an intermediates company rather than a performance chemicals company.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bardev from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team. Good to talk to you once again. So my first question is, if I look at your gross block in the last 5 years, it has almost tripled. And we are looking at another 50% increase in our gross block over the next couple of years. So just wanted to know from a fundamental perspective that is this entire capex which we are going to incur going to get consumed in the domestic market to improve substitution? Or are we also looking at an export market opening up big time for us?
Expenditure is on capital expansion of our capacities. Normally, we have seen that about 20% of our sales are international and about 80% are domestic. Perhaps that ratio may move a little more towards export going over, but not significantly, I don't think. But largely it's on the growth of the market. That's what we are trying to catch up with. And sometimes we are just behind the growth or sometimes we are ahead of the growth. But by and large, there is growth in the market.
And fair to say that most of our domestic competitors' expanded capacity will also get consummated in the domestic market?
No, both of us have, I think, both have a mix of export and domestic. Different products and we have an overlap of about maybe 40% in each other's product ranges. But given that we are in some projects which he's not in and he's in some products which we are not in, the competition is in about 40% to 50% of our sales top line. And both of us have exports and domestic sales.
Because so the fear is that the commonality between both is now sort of, meaning earlier the commonality was not that high, now the commonality is sort of rising by the day. And if both the companies are looking at selling this much in the domestic market, then is there a fear that there could be some price wars in order to get your capacity utilized, or you don't envisage that kind of a scenario?
You know, it is always a possibility. It has, there have been periods of time when there has been an overhang of capacity, and there has been periods of time when both of us have been behind the curve and there has been a shortage. But this is part of, you know, part of business, and it's a cycle. Sometimes you are ahead, sometimes you are behind. And don't forget there's a third player also, RCF.
So is RCF also adding a lot of capacity?
No, they're not adding capacity, but they are still a significant player in the methylamines market. And they do overlap some of their products with more with Balaji than with us.
Lastly, sir, many congrats. Good to see your senior management team also expanding. So given that you guys have done very well, so good to see the senior management team also expanding. So well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. So just to clarify, the methyl capacity was expanded in FY21. We had, I believe, taken from 30 to 46,000 tons. That was already done in FY21, if my numbers are right.
Yes, you're right.
Okay. And so broadly, sir, across capacities, what would be the utilization in FY22 be? Excluding the acetonitrile new expansion, I believe that was only for the last quarter.
You're talking about methylamines, right?
So across chain. So methyl, ethyl and acetonitrile.
Oh, they're very differently placed, each of them, because acetonitrile, we have just expanded the capacity, so obviously there's a lot of headroom. In methylamines, we have expanded a year and a half ago in Dahej, and that is likely to be used up next year, so we'll be probably using some part of the Patalanga plant. If you remember, we have a plant in Patalanga which is a swing plant between ethyl and methyl, and we'll probably be using the methyl plant. And maybe 2 years, as Mr. Kothari just mentioned, 2 years, 3 years down the line, we will need another methylamines plant. That leaves us with ethylamines, which we have just mentioned that we are expanding that capacity because we feel we are reaching the limits of it by the end of this year. So we will be expanding the capacity at the end of this year, which hopefully will last, that capacity will last us for another 5 years at least.
Sure, sir. And sir, so currently methyl will be probably what, 80-85% utilized, ethyl will be somewhere in the range of 90-ish, and acetonitrile, except the new expansion, is largely fully utilized. For FY22.
The expansion, yes, it was fully utilized.
For FY22.
Yeah.
Sure, sir. And so secondly, the next was on the ethyl expansion. Now, that's a significant expansion, the 30,000 tons that you mentioned. So how does this process work? Is it a batch process? Is it a continuous process that you have to run the full 30,000 at one go? Or, I mean, that flexibility is available for you?
It's a continuous process, but you can run it in campaigns. Okay. Like you can run, you know, when you start a plant, you run it for, say, 20 days of the month. Then you wait for the inventory to go down and start again 20 days later, you know. So it's a kind of a combination of continuous and, well, not exactly, it's not batch, it's continuous but in campaigns.
Got it. So at the time it runs to the full extent, but you have the flexibility to run it for 15, 20 to manage the cycle. And start-stop is not an issue in terms of operating. It's a significant issue, I believe, somewhat, but
not a significant issue.
Sure. And so the last thing was, the acetonitrile product that we had, I mean, we have spoken about it earlier. So there was not much competition here. Some imports were coming, but it's a product which find application in growing segments. So my thing was, I mean, as the costs are rising, I understand the lag between the price increase and the cost increase and the price increase. But otherwise, is there any other reason why the cost increase should not reflect in the price increase and you manage and you maintain your per kg margin or your percentage margin? I mean, what I'm trying to understand, is there a competing product to acetonitrile on price where people want to shift to the other alternate product because it is cheaper, and which probably holds a cap on pricing?
Not really, because acetonitrile on its own has its own properties and usefulness, which is increasing now in more uses also. It was also used in this vaccine production, which was there. And the new uses are going up. In fact, there's a new plant coming up in Germany. It's around 30,000 tons capacity, which will come on stream after 2 years. This is done by INEOS, but they will be doing it from acrylonitrile route, where acetonitrile is a byproduct. So the quality of the way we manufacture from acetic acid and ammonia. While that is definitely a much, our technology is much greener, you can call it, because really speaking, there are no side products. So it's all getting recirculated within the system. Hardly anything goes out. So this is something which is very positive for our plant, our company, and many of the international players also prefer our type of products. And since now we have two locations where we make acetonitrile, it gives more confidence to the customers that they can get their material from two different locations. So that's why we are very positive on acetonitrile.
Right, so basically, to be sure, there are no alternate product because of price which can influence its demand. It's pure, its own individual demand-supply patterns which decide, which drive its price.
Yeah, this is to the best of my knowledge because it's used mainly as a solvent, and there could be some more expensive solvents also which can replace it. But I have not come across anything which is directly competing with acetonitrile.
Sure, sir. Perfect, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon,
Nirav. Yeah. Sir, like what you have guided in terms of the expansion for ethyl, I mean, so based on our current capacity, how much would be the capacity additions we would see over next 2 years, one from ethylamines and probably when we would set up those methylamines new plants? So what sort of capacity increases which we are looking on our current based capacity?
So you are looking at, I'm talking only about the amines part, not the derivatives or the specialties or anything. The amines part, you're looking at something like about 30% increase with this ethylamines plant.
Okay.
The 2 years down the line, the methylamines, 2 or 3 years down the line when we set up the methylamines plant, we haven't yet finalized what kind of capacity it is, but it will again be in that not less than 150 tons a day, so not less than 45,000 tons. So another 30% increase is likely to happen then.
But that 30% is after the addition of this 30% what we would add for the
ethylamines. Exactly. So if today was say 100,000 tons, ethylamines would add 30,000, so it would become 130,000, and then it would add another 145,000 tons, so it will become 175,000.
Correct. Correct. And
so from where we stand, you are looking at something like a 75% increase over a 3 year period looking forward.
Correct. And sir,
and that should take us reasonably comfortably over the next 5-7 years if the market keeps growing.
Correct, correct. So basically we can safely see a volume growth of around 15-17% coming on for alkylamines for next 4 to 5 years, depending on some of the years where the volumes could be lesser or some of the years where the volumes would be higher based on the demand supply dynamics.
I agree with you there. We have always managed that 10 to 15% increase in this this thing, and I think looking forward, I don't see, of course, given all the nightmares that our customers are having with the Chinese intermediates they use,
yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult to keep the volumes up. But looking forward, I think all that will get sorted out. You know, sooner or later, people will sort out all that. It's already settling down, and people will find alternate sources and move on, you know.
Correct. And so this methylamines expansion would be coming up in the Dahej only, or would we require a new land altogether for this expansion? So that would be altogether a new setup of methylamines, single location, another plant, or would be in combination with our existing plant?
No, I think we'll have to look for some more land, because along with methylamines, we'll put up some
derivatives,
other plants also. So definitely we are already looking for some land. So
okay,
maybe in the next 6 months to a year's time, we'll have a plot of land which will be suitable for us.
Correct. So my second question is on the improvements and the learnings probably in this challenging last 2 years. So, and some of the years we had the demand-led problems, some of the years were the supply-led problems based on the global supply logistic challenges. So we have been proving time and again in terms of reducing our cost of production either through process optimization or let's say through product innovation. So I just wanted to ask that when we had set up our first acetonitrile plant and the learnings whereby we operated at 100%, so could this plant be an example in terms of some more improvements happening on the input-output side, or let's say some of the process innovations which has helped us to make some sustainable amount of improvements over next 4 or 5 years? If you can just explain your thought process on the same.
So we have done it in our existing plant. We have been right from the beginning, because the plant, I mean, the overall design was developed within our R&D.
Yeah.
And from pilot plant stage to putting up a plant, and over a period of time, we have been changing lots of process conditions, you know,
okay,
and going on improving the process. That has helped us in overall yields of our raw materials as well as energy consumption, you know. So we are at a stage where we are producing acetonitrile at a very competitive rate, you know. And our new plant has been designed accordingly, you know.
Correct. So, is it safe to assume that based on your process optimization, what you have done, the cost of production for the expanded plant would be lesser than the existing capacity for acetonitrile?
Yes. In short, yes.
Yeah. And sir, lastly, I would like to ask in terms of our user industry. So, I think we were predominantly into pharma agri, which predominantly contributes 70-75% of our volume. So has the mix changed towards more from agro side from last 2 to 3 years, given the kind of challenges what you have seen globally in terms of less material being available for agro intermediates and the growth for which we are seeing on that side, sir? So anything, the mix has changed over last 1.5-2 years in terms of our revenue combination?
Not significantly, because there is always a new product coming up in agro also.
Yeah.
Which is always, I mean, some of them do need amines. So you lose some, you gain some. No? Maybe a couple of percentage points here and there, but nothing significant to say that there is a trend in the other direction.
Got it. And sir, lastly, if I can just touch upon some of the things. So, I think predominantly ethylamines also goes in the production of rubber chemicals, and our existing one of the players has also done the expansion of the same. So probably this new plant would help us to cater to the expansion of our end user customer, or would there be some another user industries and the demand drivers because of which we are setting up such a bigger plant?
So that would definitely, I mean, our existing rubber chemicals and customers, they will definitely be buying from us. But it's not significant from point of view of our capacity.
Okay.
And it will definitely help us. And overall, I think their capacities, whether they've already expanded or they will be coming up now, has to be seen.
Yeah.
And they are, of course, doing better mainly because of things happening in China also.
Yeah.
And a lot of the rubber industry, rather tire industry and all,
yeah,
has started doing extremely well in India.
Correct.
Our requirement is also going up because of that.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering the questions in detail and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Gobe from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, you always mentioned that your Kurkum plant is fungible and you can switch from methylamine to ethylamines and ethylamines and back to methylamines. So can you guide us on the how the difference between the process conditions? They're very close, or what I understand is methylamines and ethylamines, the process conditions or pressure, temperature are quite different, and they are different. I mean, so how you manage that, the plant at plant level, and how much time it takes to switch from one product to another product? Can you just elaborate on this?
Yes, in Kurkum we don't have methylamines. We are making only ethylamines. And at Patalganga, the existing plant, we have modified in a manner by which we can do a swing, you know. Sometimes make ethylamines, sometimes make methylamines, and also sometimes isopropylamines. You know? So we, this is our in-house technology, you can call it. And we have been very successful in that. We also used to make butylamines also, and of course we make ethylhexylamine. So that is continuing. I mean, butylamine we stopped in between, but at a good opportunity we may start also.
Okay. And do we have to make modification in the plant in terms of pipelines and some waste addition or etc.
Yeah, we have to have a proper reactors, you know. Depends again on the catalyst, but for methylamine the catalyst is different than for the other amines. It's a matter of lining up the thing, and there is a campaign, between campaigns there is a process which takes about 5 to 6 days to line up, to clean up and line up the plants and to make alternate products.
Okay.
So the some equipment are meant specifically for one, some equipment are meant for the other, and a large number of equipment are common to both.
Okay. And how you manage the temperature and pressure, sir? Because then must be the reactor require different pressure when you operate ethylamines plant. So
that is part of the technology, you know. I mean, your plants are designed to take care of various temperatures and various pressures. So I don't think there is any issue in that.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaivir Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks a lot for taking my question. So firstly, in terms of the CAPEX that you could be doing 2-3 years out, the greenfield capacity expansion, what could be the estimated CAPEX for that, and are you likely going to fund it via internal accruals only?
Well, we can only look forward towards maybe the next year and a little bit to the year after. We do have plans beyond that, but they are still not formed. But looking at the next year and the year after, we are planning to do it through internal accruals mainly. Of course, there will be some periods, maybe 3 to 6 months, where we may have to dip into our working capital limits. But at the moment, we don't think we'll be taking any term debt for the planned capital expenditure over the next 2 years.
That's helpful, Kirat sir. And secondly, we have also seen your competitor significantly expand capacities across newer product lines, which could be a DNC or a DMF or an N-butylamines as well, now to diversify away from some key products. Now, what is Alkyl thinking about in terms of either focusing on the key products where you have competency, or are you also looking to go beyond them? So what could be your future plans regarding that? And if you could also highlight any of the few new products you might have introduced over the last few years that today form a sizable portion of your revenues, apart from the key products that you already have.
Well, acetonitrile was a new product which has made a sizable part of our revenue. That was introduced about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Significantly four. It was, of course, trial runs were about 7-8 years ago, but significantly we expanded capacity about 4 years ago.
We have a product called diethyl hydroxylamine, which is also a significant product. Then diethyl aminopropylamine, which is also a significant product. Then we have products like DPR, and there are some specialty products which are not that large a volume, maybe a few hundred tons for the NM, but they contribute significantly.
Sure. So, sir, apart from acetonitrile, are there any other products which have a capacity of over, say, 15,000 tons per annum? Let's say, apart from, say, a DMA-HCl as well.
So, DMA-HCl, ethylamines, methylamines, acetonitrile are all over 10,000, 15,000 tons.
No, I understand that, but say, apart from the traditional ones.
Apart from these four, there are no... Well, the Mapa may come close, but...
Yeah, it's not large volume, a few thousand tons.
Yeah, a few thousand tons, but just below 10.
Sure, sure. Thanks a lot for answering.
Acetylamine will be probably...
Acetylamine.
So there are a few which are significant, not as big as acetonitrile or methylamines, but significant.
Sure, sure. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Reena Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me another opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to ask, since you have seen a significant increase in power and fuel cost, are you looking to set up some renewable energy like solar plants or something on those lines?
We do already have a solar plant. We are adding some more capacity in the solar plant. But that will not... bring down the cost significantly, you know. The main issue is, of course, the coal price, which has gone up in the last 6 months a lot, you know. So we only hope that over a period of, in a short time, this thing stabilizes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
There is two ways to reduce your energy cost. One is, of course, as Mr. Kothari pointed out, about enhancing our solar power generation capacities, which we are doing. In the next 3 months, there will be another 2 megawatts added, and perhaps a little later in the year, for the age, we will have maybe another 2 megawatts. But along with that, we also are increasing our turbine generations of electricity within the sites, because we use the coal to create steam at high pressure and then use that with extraction steam to make electricity. So that's another additional source of electricity. Unfortunately, as it happens, the power costs and the fuel costs, they're always balancing.
So what could be the percentage of your power and fuel cost as percentage of revenue?
Would be 200, so... About 14%, I think, power, water, fuel. 13 to 14% it will be. It was it was down to about 8-9, and now it's increased.
Okay. That's it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to one per participant. For any follow-up, may be requested to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Shanti Patel from Shanti Patel Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Looking to your expansion plans, etc., is it safe to assume that in next 3 years, our profit and turnover will double?
Yes, hopefully.
No, but that's all.
Yes, I mean, that's our plans and our hopes that it will manage it.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Sir, any new products that you are looking to introduce now? Let's say, so any significant new products which you have completed R&D and kind of trial runs and looking to introduce in FY23?
Yeah, we have several products in pipeline, but we will be only talking about it only once they become commercial, you know. At this stage, right. We would not like to disclose that.
Right, but we have several in the pipeline, right?
Yes.
Okay, and just a very small question, sir. So when do we anticipate our EBITDA margin to go back to, let's say, the mid-20s range that we guided earlier?
Well, I hope to as soon as possible. But if the cost of raw materials come down a little bit and they don't go up further, plus the cost of energy, that is coal, comes down significantly, then we are very confident we can bring up the EBITDA to a very decent level.
Right. But sir, we are not passing it on to the customers, let's say, over the last two quarters. I think we are taking a hit ourselves. But when do we expect that to pass to the customers, at least partially, so that...
Yeah. No, we are trying to do that, but we cannot just pass on complete increase, otherwise they will get into issues, and then we have competition from imports also, so we have to be very careful how much we can pass it off. No?
Okay, right, sir. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patel from Roha Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you share what is the total installed capacity across three sites, Dahej, Patalganga and Kurkum, separately?
As I mentioned earlier about the amines, because the amines capacity may be about, say, 90 to 100,000 tons, and by the end of the year, we'll add another 30,000 tons, and going forward, 2-3 years down the line, another 45,000 tons. So, currently it would be in that. The other products are a little more difficult to, because there are multi-product campaigns which run, sometimes they are at 10 tons a day and sometimes they are 40 tons a day. So depending on the market, the capacity is kind of swing. So that's difficult. But acetonitrile being a single product plant, yes, the capacity, as we said, is between 28 to 30,000 tons. Both plants put together.
So, sir, can you share just the installed capacity of each of these three sites? Only total capacity?
No, that may be difficult, you know, because there are different. Okay. In Kurkum, there are 12 plants. In Dahej, there are 3 plants. In Patalganga, there are 3 plants, you know. So, and all different. So, it's a bit difficult to share the capacities across.
Okay, sir. Okay. That's it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Rupani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, you, in the con call just now, you mentioned that there is an overlap of 40% of the products between Balaji and Alkyl. So I would like to know which products Alkyl makes which Balaji does not make. To name a few, the main products.
The ones that we make and Balaji doesn't make, from the amines you take isopropylamine, butylamine, ethylhexylamine, cyclohexylamine, these are the amines which we make, he doesn't make, mainly in the higher amines. In the derivatives we have a few like diethylhydroxylamine, DPR, DMAPA, number of other these things which we make, he doesn't make, and the reverse is also true, he makes DMF, NMP, DAE, which we don't make. So there are a range of products which he's into and what we are into, and sometimes it's very significant for almost 40-50% of his turnover is coming from products we don't make, we even make, you know.
Okay, thank you. And my last question is ACN. Now, Balaji has said that their new 15,000 tons per annum will have a new technology and where they are able to withstand higher acetic acid prices. So, I would like to know, our new ACN plant, is it will their plant be better than our plant and technology?
We don't know what the technology is. We can't comment. It could be, you never know.
Okay, and how much, what is the consumption of India of ACN? Because our capacity will now be 30,000 tons and their capacity will be about 24,000 tons. So, your comments on this after their expansion?
Yeah, the capacity today, I mean the demand today in India is about close to 30,000 tons, between 25 and 30,000 tons. So, but we are at least, we are exporting. And I don't think Balaji has started exporting yet, but perhaps he is planning to do that. I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shanti Patel from Shanti Patel Investments Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, whether we are protected by Government of India having import duty on products which we are manufacturing, and if...
Yes, there is only one product where we have duty protection, which is isopropylamine, monoisopropylamine. And that is also only against the Chinese, three Chinese suppliers. There is only one product.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So I thank everybody for listening to us patiently, and I hope we have been able to answer to your queries in a reasonable way and responsible way. I hope we will be happy with our performance in future, and we are very confident that we'll be doing in a more positive way on now onwards. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.